Well, before we get started this morning, I did just want to share a couple of things about next Sunday with you. As I oftentimes say around this times like this coming up, if you were to come for the 11 o'clock service only next week, you might be by yourself. It is the time of Easter, of Resurrection Day, that we'll have those services next Sunday. Starting at 6:30, we will have a sunrise service, Lord willing, out there where we have the grass area. We'll set up there. And about an hour later, about 7:30, we'll have a breakfast as well, a time of fellowship, of coming together as a family in Christ. I had failed to mention this the first service, but there is still a sign-up sheet in the back on that back tray. There's a clipboard, and there are still some spots open if anybody is feeling led to come to that time and would like to bring something as a part of that. It helps the ladies, if you are intending on bringing something, to know what's coming as they're kind of getting things set up and prepared. So did just want to let you know there are still some things back there that can be signed up for as far as next Sunday's breakfast. And then at 9 a.m. we will have our Sunday service inside. And so looking forward to that time. We oftentimes are reminded that we don't just remember these things of our Savior and what he's done for us one day a year, but it is a good time of remembrance as well. And so in addition to that, we will not have, normally on that first Sunday of the month, we have our communion service in the evening. With us having the sunrise service and the Easter services that day, we won't have a service that night. We'll pick up the first Sunday of May with that. So I don't think I missed anything this time, Lord willing. I was going to mention her as well. Thank you, Miss Kim. So if we could, though, as well, go to Matthew chapter 11. Pastor Josh on Wednesday nights, as he's been sharing about sharing the gospel and evangelism, one of the things that we've been looking at here recently is that our Savior Jesus Christ is the one who really brings true healing. And when he brings a healing in, he brings it in all the way. And it's unlike when man tries to fix things or tries to come up with ways to help their own situation or change their circumstances or their behaviors. He brings a healing in that actually comes in, and not only does it really fix the issue, but it remains. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus begins to say in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are, for all of us, many things that in the time before we'd come to Christ, whether it was because of decisions we had made, concerns that were on our heart, things that began to weigh us down. So often it is our sin, it is the decisions that we've made in our life, and it just seems like no matter what we do or what the world does, there's just still that hole there. There's still that weight that we begin to carry. But what Christ begins to say is that there's a rest, there's a healing that he begins to bring in that, as we said, actually changes in our lives when we come to him, when we receive him as our Savior. With that in mind, I wanted to call Miss Kim Fair up, and you were going to kind of share with us, this has been a part of your testimony, is passages like this. There were some things, and I'll let you kind of share in your life before you came to Christ, because there was a number of years you lived as an adult and you didn't have 43. A relationship. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different experiences and things that began to come in those years, but when Christ came in, it made all the difference. So I'll let you share a testimony.
Well, as Pastor James said, on Wednesdays, Pastor Josh has been talking about complete healing, and the passage in Matthew 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I didn't raise my hand, so in talking with him over the week, he said, "Would you mind bringing it up?" So here we go. I have a question for you all. Has anyone here ever suffered a devastating, catastrophic, life-shattering, overwhelming loss with resultant scars and wounds, visible or invisible? Or am I the only one? My weary and heavy-laden burden started 49 years ago. I was in Boston, a second-year grad student, and I was pregnant. There was never a question of what I would do. I firmly believed that the spark of conception was truly life. I could not wish this away, and I knew that the simple truth was that I'd have this baby and I'd have an adoption placement made. I was at a Catholic university, so I had to bring my humiliation before my professors and the dean of the college and ask if I would be allowed to continue my studies. Another issue to be addressed was the disgrace and scandal I could bring upon the college and myself. That was the 1970s. These things sometimes popped up on the news when a woman of certain morals was in the influence, had influence over young children. I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord then, so I prayed to the powers that be at the college that they would have a Christian attitude and have a heart about my situation. My studies continued. My pregnancy went along well. Only a few members of my immediate family knew what was going on, and I had most of my friends supported me. I had gave birth to a healthy baby girl, 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and we were in the hospital for 5 days together. I held her, I fed her, I bathed her, I dressed her, I slept with her, I talked with her, cried for her and prayed for her. The most difficult thing during the whole pregnancy was that I had to mentally stop myself from having hopes and dreams. It just hurt too much. I signed the dissolution of parental rights, and as I walked to my car, I thought to myself, I will never feel the depth of this sorrow again. It was too great, and my heart was torn in two. 20 years later, I came into a personal relationship with the Lord. There was never more than a day or two that I didn't think of her. It was a burden, and I was heavy laden. I knew that this huge, gnarly chunk of disfiguring scar tissue, keloid scar tissue on my heart, would never go away, because that's just simply what comes with a story like that. But on one night, I was driving home from the beach, and I was talking to the Lord, as I often did, and I just asked them, Lord, what do I do with this all? Do I just, you know, this is just a never-ending cycle. Do I just close the file, put it in a drawer, and close it? And I was just out of answers. I was out of resources. I didn't know what to do. And I realized that there was nothing I could do. I was talking to the Lord, and it just was too much, so I just had to leave it there in His hands. And that brings me to Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I know some of you just felt a thud in your chest, because you know personally that that is worshipful recognitions of God's tender care as we go through those times. Whether it's severe pain, emotional pain, physical, or shattering the spirit. Psalms 32, O Lord my God, I cried to you for your help, and you healed me. God is willing and able to make all emotional, physical, and spiritual wounds go away. He is the ultimate healer. He takes our brokenness and makes us whole and new again. It was a day or two after that conversation with the Lord. I was driving on Beach Boulevard, and the song Praise the Lord by the Imperials, which Dave sings so nicely, came on the radio. And I felt at that moment, God was physically peeling away the keloid tissue from my heart and made my heart new again. It was as if the wound had never happened. And now I have a perfectly perfect heart regarding the wounds. He has wiped away all those tears of sorrows. And now, if you see tears when I cry, it really is all about his love, his power, his might, and my gratitude. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Exodus 15:26. For I, the Lord, am your healer. I'll leave you with the verse that we started with. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you a rest.
You know, Ms. Kim, what I appreciate so much about how the Lord works in this time, and you and I were talking about this, is, you know, our way of trying to fix things thinks we need to fix the circumstance or go back and change.
Yeah.
But these are things that in man's best effort couldn't change or couldn't fix. God worked beyond the circumstances. There was nothing you could go back and change it. Desire as you might, you couldn't. And you realize that was a part of God bringing you to himself. But when he brought that healing in, no circumstance had to change for that wound to be healed.
Yeah. He did it. And those are the problems of life, and we all have them. And God is sovereign over it all. I have one little bit of that song, Praise the Lord. And it says, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks, Mom.
You know, we're reminded in these things that even through times of great loss, as we see so often, God is doing good even in the midst of that. And I shared in first service and wanted to share again as well. Many of you through the years began to know Mary Jo. She was here at our church with us until just a few months back. I think, Ms. Connie, was at the end of last year, wasn't it? Right there, right around the holiday time. And she had moved to the Carolinas, I believe, and we got word that she passed away. And just wanted to share that with all of you. And we know that she had professed that a love and a faith for the Lord. And so we know as well that there was many within her family that had not come to know him yet and knew that was something that was on her heart. She would share oftentimes with me. And so we're praying in this time and how the Lord will work in these days. We're thankful for the assurance we have and where she goes and that she's with the Lord. We do pray for how the Lord may use this in that family's time as well. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're just so thankful for your perfect comfort and love for us. Lord, we realize that we go astray in our thinking, and that without you, we're lost. But Lord, you rescue us, and you do a work in our heart that you free us from these things. You bring a healing and a strength in, Lord, that we could never hope to find outside of you. So Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love and your faithfulness and your promises that are ever true and sure in you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.